When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to The Downside. My name is Gianmarco Cerezi. I forgot my notes. Can you pass me my backpack, please? I'm working on trying to... I realize that my intros for this show are not always... They're not clean. If you're a new listener, and we need new listeners in addition to our wonderful fans, I need to make it clear. This is a place where we complain, where we kvetch, which is Jewish for complaining, and we have guests on to just talk about what's shitty and what's bad, and it doesn't matter if it's personal or big or small, and it's a comedy podcast.
I'm
gonna work
close
on this
to you.
Are the new couches okay? Like this?
No, they're great. I'm like just getting used to it because I feel like
this is okay.
We're in a love seat. This
because
is called a love seat, right?
We brought in we got new couches.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've ever had this happen, where someone brings a new piece of furniture. It's a big to-do in New York City. Mm-hmm. And then we put it in a 90-degree angle, and it wasn't right.
Didn't
and I was
fit.
Like, I hyperventilated.
Yeah.
It felt like I was moving and not moving.
Yeah.
And so this is okay?
This is great. I like this. I like our guest is right across from us. I like that. It feels strong. It feels good. I'm just getting used to how close we are in this setting, but it's kind of nice.
Yeah.
This is like some nice physical.
I can do a lot of. Do you feel? Forgive me. Do you ever feel like people like hit you? They like give you like a oh
yeah oh the, people love a big guy like doing that with big guy's shoulders.
Yeah
or
yeah
like,
yeah.
Or like this part of the arm, they're like there's this haunch. You can really like
a haunch.
You can really hit it, you know.
Do you ever go like, okay, no, I'm not.
No, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I mean, I would mind if they were like patting my belly. They were like, that would make me uncomfortable. But it's generally like, you know, like a, yeah.
We're here today.
I think it'd be good if you put the guest in the corner. You cornered your guest. Like, you know, you just like surrounded them.
Yeah, and I was just like right here.
It is tough, man. Making a podcast studio in a New York City apartment, a huge mistake.
Mm.
And I know they're going to raise the rent. Like I know the moment this is perfect, they're going to raise the rent and we'll have to go.
Yeah.
There's a free podcast place. It's down the street and it's like the glass is to the street, but you can rent
it. Why is it free?
Who knows? Who knows? Some New York
thing. How do they make their money?
I just cannot imagine podcasting while looking at homeless people actively in front of you.
Yeah.
And then being like, don't worry, if this podcast lasts long enough, we'll be right there next to you. So Isabel, we'll get to you in a second.
Sure.
But feel free to talk as I
please.
Share this thing. I'm trying to figure out a format for like the intro. I feel like I want to say like one shitty thing that happened that week.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I thought of a shitty thing, it was so shitty, I was like, no, it's sad. It doesn't frame it
well.
What
is it?
It's you know what it is, the shitty thing that happened this week. We've both posted about it. And I'm like, that's not.
No,
so
that's
it's got to be shitty and far away.
Yeah, no, that's not.
It's got to be further away.
Yeah.
So I did want to share. I did get an email. I got an angry. You know, we've been talking a little more about our political views. Not that this is a political podcast.
No.
But we've been talking a little more about Israel and Palestine. And I did get this email from someone. And I think it ties into this podcast pretty well. It says, your repost of that anti-Zionist meme. I don't know what this is in reference to. It says, I am so sad that you have chosen to side with the quote-unquote from the river to the sea crowd. I was your biggest fan. Now I unfollowed you on all the platforms, including your podcast. It is not Israel's fault that Hamas hides behind its own people. The deaths of civilians in Gaza are on their heads. Israel's first responsibility, as with every other nation on earth, is to protect its own people. Meanwhile, your spreading of this meme and other hateful misinformation makes things unsafe for all Jews worldwide. Shame on you.
Mm.
Okay. Now, first, let me just be clear. When you disagree with me on some political view, and I don't mean this to be too cocky, but it is to a degree, you unfollowing me, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
People unfollow me because I posted a joke that wasn't very good.
Yeah.
And now when you unfollow Russell, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Russell, he sees it.
I see it.
My number is not affected. It says 250K.
It impacts me and my family.
So I wrote back. I said, you know, in my I'm sorry, I'm not as
You wrote back.
Yeah. I'm sorry, because they emailed me through my website. That feels the most personal way to contact me.
Yeah.
Message, Instagram, whatever. I'm sorry I'm not as comfortable with the mass murder of innocent civilians as you. Something like that.
Got him.
Thought that might change his mind. Now, he wrote this back, and let's see if we can all play this game. They said, I will answer you in a language you'll understand. You are kind. Oh, sorry. You are young. Life has been kind to you. You will learn. I'll miss your theater kid jokes. Goodbye. Quick trivia. And sorry to the listeners who think I do too many theater references. What are those song lyrics from?
I don't know.
I knew right away what musical. Took me a little bit to narrow it down. No, Isabel, no. You should know this. Okay, I'll sing it now. You are young. Life has been kind to you.
Oh.
You will learn.
Wait. It's Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd. Okay. Now, who sings the song that they are referencing as pearls of wisdom for me to clutch onto?
Sweeney Todd.
That is correct.
Yeah.
The barber.
Who gets his throat cut.
Who murders a bunch of innocent civilians and ultimately kills his own wife because he was unable to distinguish that she was her. Mm-hmm. Bad
reference.
Sample.
Bad example.
For Damn. For
wow,
this thing.
Got him.
This is the downside.
One, two, three. Downside.
You're listening to The Downside.
The Downside.
With Gianmarco Cerezi.
So thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
You multi-talented stand-up comedian, writer, violist?
Whoa.
Violist.
Whoa.
Violist.
Yes.
Yeah. Violist.
How did you practice that before she came?
No, it was okay. Off the dome.
I like violist.
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 That's like someone who's really into veal.
Yeah.
People usually say violist, but I've never heard violist.
Yeah.
Now that you've said that, I now forget violist.
Yes.
Violist.
Yeah.
We're not the classiest of podcasts. Let me just say this out the gate. I love Tar. You love Tar.
Love it.
I met someone who does photography for symphonies, and they said, "Ugh, Tar's nonsense." It was they talked about it the way that I talk about what's that show about the late night host?
Oh,
that was dreadful.
Oh, well,
Mindy Kaling one.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember. Late night. Yeah.
And they were just like, "How accurate?"
That's the thing.
Not accurate. Fun?
I'll tell you, he's a photographer of a symphony. I'm a violist in a symphony, and I thought it was pretty damn accurate.
Yeah.
So,
yeah?
Yeah. First of all the musicians were actually playing, except for the one concertmaster who was like the wife of Cate Blanchett. They're all actually playing, which I think you don't see in movies a lot at all.
You guys talk about that in movies, you were like,
yeah, it looks insane.
It.
If you know how to play an instrument, like Mozart in the Jungle, like the people playing look like ridiculous. It's like clowns, you know. Like you're like, what are they even doing?
What do they do? Like compare, like what's the motions that the actor
like,
does?
Like so, it should be like this, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah.
And you're just there's no way it doesn't look.
Yeah, it's the same when you see like a fake band, like you know, like the guitar player. It's the same kind of thing where you're like, that person's not playing clearly, or like drumming when it's not drumming.
We talked about it, but I did a movie where the extras were in a band on a late night show.
Yeah.
And the saxophonist was playing, but his mouth wasn't on the mouthpiece, so he was just like jamming like this,
like smiling.
and I'm there, and it's. I'm like, it's not my responsibility
to say
Billy Crystal, this guy's fucking it up.
Oh,
but man, did it look
that
stupid.
That is so funny.
That's why you can't get rid of, you can't AI generate extras.
No,
you'll lose those magical moments.
You want to see an extra who doesn't know to put his mouth on the...
You just finished filming a movie.
I did.
Did you have extras in it?
Yes.
Did you use an extras casting director?
No, I asked people who I knew to show up. Sure. But we used all real musicians for, because it was a movie about music. It was a movie about musicians, and pretty much everyone who was playing was actually playing. That was like a big thing for me.
Uh-huh.
I wanted it to look real and be actual, like live captured string quartet music. And I think it's more compelling, because like, even like the facial expressions of people, if you're not actually playing, it's going to be like, you're going to be like pretending like you're into it. But if you're actually playing, you're actually emotionally moved by what you're doing. So your face is going to show that. So I think cinematically, sure. It's just even better. It's not just a sound thing or like a technique thing. It's like you're missing out on like the actual emotions.
Well, in your mind, would you rather have someone who's not as good an actor, but the playing is at? Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
If they're going to play.
Sure. I think like certain disciplines, you can't. I think they said Leonard Bernstein. Who's playing him? Bernstein. Bernstein,
Cooper,
right?
Cooper. Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper. That he like learned 6 minutes on a piano or whatever. But the bottom line is there's no way it's. There's no way it's as good. The same way I thought was so interesting when Daniel Day-Lewis did 9 is that I'm really self-conscious about all these comments about people going, you talk about theater too much.
It's okay.
I'm going to keep pushing through.
Screw them.
Screw them.
Yeah. It's your passion.
Screw them.
Your podcast.
Daniel Day-Lewis, no one's works harder than him, and his singing was dog shit. And it was like, yeah, because you can't just learn how to sing.
No, you can't. And it's like, I don't know. It depends on the movie and what the priority is. You know, if they're playing for like 2 seconds in a movie, then you're sure get someone to fake it. But if the movie is like about a musician, you know,
I think too, I feel like there's a crowd of actors these days where they think that the time put in gives them some kind of extra credit. They're like Bradley Cooper had that quote this week of being like, you can't just jump into a film 6 months. Like, I've been working on this for years. And you're like, cool, man. Like, still, like, that doesn't matter. That impacts me in no way when I watch it.
Sure.
Am I being like, he did this for 7 years. Wow, great, cool. A lot of times people do that stuff, and then I'm like, I'm still seeing a dumb makeup job and, a silly performance that doesn't do anything different for me. Because oftentimes it's like, just hire someone that can really do the thing that you're looking for. A lot of times. I don't know about his movie, Maestro, but I'm just saying, like...
Natalie Portman in Black Swan, there was some, like... You know, her extras did a lot of the ballet moves. I'm like, good.
Great.
You know what? You know what I've never admired in a ballet? Their acting abilities.
Yeah.
So it's fine. It's still a great movie. Yeah. But what's more misrepresented in media? Playing an instrument or stand-up comedy?
Stand-up comedy.
Yeah?
Well,
always terrible in media.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen everything about each thing, so I couldn't really say. But like in Maisel, for instance, like she's doing a different bit. She's doing a different 5 minutes every time you see her.
Yeah.
That's the most that's insane. She should have been doing the same 10 minutes all 4 seasons.
Oh my God. That's really so funny.
She just started. Yeah.
But that's all stand-up things, like, you know, Seinfeld. Like, you're always seeing a different bit.
Yeah, Crashing, which was made by comedians.
Yeah.
He's doing different bits every time you see him.
At least with Crashing, he was doing like his existing old material, which is a cool,
that's cool
detail, at least. But that's why I think, at least with music, you're playing the hits. You're playing Mozart. So the music is real music. With stand-up, I always say, if you're going to have stand-up in a show, go pay a comedian $10,000 for 5 minutes of the real act, and it'll be so much more authentic than making up some fake stand-up for the
having
moment.
A make up a Che Diaz routine. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That was horrible.
I need to watch some of it. I had an idea where I wanted to, like, I can't do a Che Diaz, but, like, do movie stand-up like in the middle of an actual set for an audience to just show how flat it fell.
Like transcribe one of Maze's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would do, but I honestly need to get someone else. I couldn't find enough examples. Che Diaz would be great, but obviously I can't do that.
Right.
And then like a lot of the other ones, they're just so specific to the story. They're so like, the audience would be freaking out.
Yeah, you need a lot of context. Yeah,
well, it's like learning a monologue. You're like, I'm going to learn the stand-up routine from... Crashing episode 3, season 2.
Yeah.
And I've also done things like that on stage, and it feels just awful.
Yeah.
It feels just awful for the audience to be like, what are you doing? Because you can't respond to them. So you're really, it feels the same way as I would on like a hidden camera show.
Oh,
I'm like, I'm pranking you guys.
Right.
So, Isabel, we've known each other a while, but don't
never
cross
spoken.
Paths. Never spoken. you in terms of the viola, how, to put it blunt, how successful are you at that instrument? Are you at the highest of your field? Are you a word, like, if you could put it into stand-up terms, I know these are, they're so different, but many similarities. Like, how do you feel about your role?
My ability as a violist, to put it bluntly, this is how I describe it to people. If there were the Viola Olympics, I would qualify, but I wouldn't win any medals.
Okay.
So I am a pro.
So a loser.
Yeah, but I'm a fucking loser. You know, I'm very good. I'm top, you know, but there are so many people who are like really like better than, I can think of all the people who are better than me, you know, like I'm, mm-hmm. but I'm like competitive with them, but I tend to botch performances and like, I'm just,
really?
I'm like at the end of the day, I always fuck it up with the viola, but that's like with like solo competition, like in terms of like playing with other people and being hired to like back up like pop singers and stuff. Like I have a great sound. I can read down a chart. Like I'm as good as you're going to get for that. If I'm being honest,
yeah. live is that a struggle? Do you get nervous?
I have a long history of performance anxiety where my hands shake, and so even if I like know the piece left and right, I just in the moment my heartbeat is too fast, and I just screw it up. Like I screwed up a lot of my auditions while I was in school, and like just a lot of losses.
Did you ever try the beta blockers?
Yeah, no. And I still sometimes will use beta blockers. And I don't, like, I'm not afraid to talk about that. It's like,
sure.
It just slows down your heart rate. It's not like steroids. It doesn't make you better.
Yeah.
But it was like, it still wasn't quite enough. Like, I still
could you really
got in
feel
my
the
head.
Difference? I thought about it. Oh, after I did a Comedy Central taping, I was talking to Kate Willett.
Yeah.
And she recommended, because I get so anxious, and I used to, beginning a stand-up, would have a shaky hand.
Yeah.
And I always get scared it'll come back.
Well, I never take them for stand-up because I actually like being a little shaky for stand-up.
Sure.
There's like less physical, it doesn't screw me up because it kind of, at least for my character on stage, it like helps almost.
Uh-huh.
But with viola, I need to be completely relaxed because there's so much detail that can be messed up really, like with one, you know, shake.
Of course.
They really work for me. They do.
Would people hear it when you, like, do they hear it slightly, or was it like you had to stop and go, sorry?
I never had to stop. It was the type of thing where like a few times I think anyone could have known. And then a lot of times like the untrained ear probably would have thought it still sounded good, but like all the judges would have been like, yeah, she was shaky, or like she was tight, or her, you know.
Oh.
So I was getting injured all the time, like repetitive stress. So it was a very like doomed pursuit for me.
Where was the injury?
My left wrist and shoulder, mostly my wrist and like my hand.
Is it because you were, I mean, is it just that's what happens, or were you holding it?
I mean, it's like it's a, you know, contortion. Some people are just built better than others. Like I think I could have worked harder on like solving it, but I also just was like, ugh. Like I was kind of looking for a way out.
Yeah.
Also, if I'm being honest, but it's just people are different. Your body, it's like you're an athlete, and like athletes sometimes get injured. It's like that kind of just, it can just happen.
Yeah.
So.
Did you ever play any instruments?
I played saxophone.
How
and
long?
7 years, 8 years.
What the fuck, man?
I can like play chords and things on piano.
If
I had to learn in music school, I had to learn like everything a little bit, but like I couldn't do that anymore.
If I had a sax, could you like?
Yeah, I can still play it. But not great. Nicole's better than me now because she takes lessons.
You don't share enough of your life with me.
I mean, I did it
Nicole's
in middle school.
Nicole's taking sax lessons? I had no idea.
You didn't know? She talks
about
it all the time. Yeah.
No.
She's been doing it for 2 years.
Oh, God. Is that tough with the... I did sax for 4 weeks, and I could tell my mom was like, oh, we don't want... She could not put up with me practicing.
Oh.
It was always like if it was past 6 p.m., she was like, oh, God. And so I didn't have any support. I didn't want to do it to begin with.
Yeah.
What would you play if we had a live show and I just said, we got a sax here, Russell?
Yeah.
Can you?
I mean, I could learn it, probably.
What would you play?
I don't have a song off the top of my head that I play. You tell me what this to play.
This is a shocking thing to ask. You don't have a song?
I was in a band. I was in middle school and high school band. I wasn't out at jazz clubs.
If you gave me a guitar, I would play Another Turning Point, A Fork Stuck in the Road. And I did that in eighth grade graduation. I still could do it.
Okay.
Or I just do like the beginning. I do the first three notes of Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, you just do
bow, down, bow, bow, and that would be it.
You went to music school?
Yeah.
What school did you go to?
Juilliard.
Oh, my God. Wait, you said you're in a group now? You're not in a group. Okay.
I get hired occasionally. I play in groups, but I'm not in like a core.
Okay.
I'm not a core member of anything.
Got it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
Juilliard, that's crazy, I feel like. What was it like? I mean, so I went to music school, but I was in the wrong place and I didn't really like music school. I hated it. I also felt like I didn't fit in with music kids that much. Mm. Sometimes it was so stuffy. And you're a comedian. So I just was curious if you ever felt like, relax, you know, like, or no, you felt like.
Or are you that person?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't feel like I fit in with comedians, and I don't feel like I fit in with a lot of I always other myself.
Uh-huh.
But with musicians, like I found like the chill ones. Like I had a pretty good time at music school. I just like also knew while I was there that I wasn't gonna be able to sustain a career in it. Like
yeah,
I enjoyed school while I was there, but knew that I was screwed.
Yeah.
So
why now? Is that your outlook, or you could feel like I don't have the skill or the ambition?
I didn't have the ambition. I felt like I didn't have the skill. I was very down on myself, just like super, like I convinced myself I was just like the worst violist in the world. But like, obviously I know that's not
true. You
think
Juilliard just let one in like
every
year?
Yeah, I'm like, how'd I get in
here? Let the worst one in too, just to
give
the kids perspective.
I will say like, because I play it sometimes my act now, and playing it for like just people who have maybe never even heard a string instrument before, and like seeing their faces like light up, like it's kind of been therapeutic for me, because I'm like, oh, like I am like good at this. Like this is like a special ability I have.
Sure.
And like just bringing it to like anywhere, playing like in comedy clubs or like wherever, it's just like you kind of realize, because when you're at just a place like Juilliard, like you're just comparing yourself to like the top 1% of players.
Sure.
And you're in like stuffy concert halls all the time, but like just playing for people, it's just like, just play, you know? And like everyone loves it. And even if I mess up, and no one cares. No one even notices.
I think, when I think about it, we had one girl in my middle school who did music. So I'm curious like the beginning, because I felt like I saw her as like, I was like a lazy kid. I did school. I got fine grades. But like she was practicing hours and hours every single day. And I remember when I was in my 20s and I found out she had stopped. For me, I was like, I don't understand, because I'm very much I want to be the best at a thing. When you first started, how old were you?
Five.
And is it family musical?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad's a jazz saxophonist, and daddy. And my older brother is a very gifted, high achieving pianist and orchestral conductor.
Oh.
So I had.
Yeah.
You know.
And were you drawn to it from a young age? Like, did you, was he always playing around? Would he play you to sleep when you were a baby?
No. No, he would just like play really loudly in the living room on the piano, you know, like, oh, my dad?
Yeah.
No, my dad never played for me. He would like sing us to sleep a little bit.
That's sweet.
Me and my brother, when we shared a room, you know.
I always
think
if I had a kid, I'd be singing a lot.
Yeah.
It's a nice thing if you can sing for your child. Sing. You know?
Yeah, my parents, did your parents sing for you?
I don't remember it, but maybe.
Would you sing, or were you just like whatever workshop you were doing?
Whatever I'm working on. Whatever.
It would be tough to not use my kids to help me memorize lines, for sure. So you started at five, and what, I mean, are you like going hard right out the gate?
No. And I started on violin, and my dad would make me practice. We like fought all the time. He had to bribe me to practice with like Beanie Babies. And
did that work?
It did.
Well, how many Beanie Babies per hour?
It was like every week that I practiced every day for like a while. I got a lot of Beanie Babies.
I got every couple years or so, I think my dad, money gets tight, and he calls me and he says, hey, can we sell the Beanie Babies? And I say, Dad, I don't think there's any money.
They're not worth anything anymore. No. I tried to sell mine.
You did.
And they were worth, I missed the boat. So then I just gave them to my little cousin.
Oh my God. How many did you have, do you think?
Oh, like, I mean, not that many. Maybe like 40.
I had like
maybe they'll come
a
back
container.
Around. You know?
Yeah.
I get mad when I see, like, Beanie Babies, clearly they started selling out a little. Mm-hmm. Like, they started doing branding. And now it's like Ronald McDonald Beanie Baby.
Yeah,
and I'm like, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Who was your favorite?
I had a cat named Nip.
I know Nip.
Yeah.
Black and orange.
Well, there was Chip, who was black and orange. Then there was Nip, who was just like brown. Uh-huh. I had both. And then I had Nuts the squirrel. I think was the squirrel Nuts?
It sounds right.
Makes sense.
Yes. for me, mine was Spot. Spot was
I loved Spot.
I don't know why, but like, I swear, I could see it now and you'd see in my brain some kind of recognition. I lost Spot.
Oh.
The one Beanie Baby that I really, the rare ones, I mean, I never, the only rare one I ever had, I had Princess Diana like a little bit early, not at the beginning.
What?
Wait,
it was a Princess Diana Beanie Baby?
Oh, yeah.
Like the dead?
They made a
like
person?
Yeah, but it was a bear. It wasn't like her corpse.
Oh.
It was a...
Was it before or after she died?
Princess
I believe
Diana?
It was like the anniversary of her death. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it was post
weird.
Her being dead.
Because
I had no connection to Princess Diana. Well, they made a lot of bears. Bears was like their thing.
Yeah.
And this one was purple, and they usually had like a chess thing, and it was like some kind of flower bouquet.
Yeah.
And there was a time where it was like the thing, and my dad, you know, thought he'd get some points against my mom if he got me. And we had it in a case. But there were... Did you ever collect Beanie Babies?
No, I missed
it. It was exciting. And they had like the malfunctioned ones. So there was like there was a light blue elephant, but there was a like a dark blue there was Spot, but they forgot the Spot. And that was worth at a time $1,000 trillion.
Wow.
And
or Quackers without the wings.
Quackers without the wings.
Yeah.
Oh God, what were there's ones missing legs and these were like factory mishaps that someone got fired for.
Yeah.
And then resulted in, they're making a movie about it.
What?
Who?
They're making
about
a whole
what?
Movie about the whole Beanie Baby, because it's a whole market.
Like,
and then how do you not flood the market?
The
how do you
of Beanie Babies or about
the creation
like,
the,
like Barbie,
the rise?
Like Beanie Babies.
It was big. Beanie Babies were huge.
I'm not arguing with you. I believe.
And
you.
Now they're at fucking gas stations and
yeah,
and it's Peppa Pig Beanie Baby.
Oh yeah.
And the
All
poems
success.
Are terrible. The poems.
Oh.
What poems?
In the heart tag.
Yeah, you swear to God, it's like you don't live in this world. In the heart tag, there'd be a four line.
Uh-huh.
I believe they were couplets, or maybe it was...
You're saying they're bad now and they were good, or they were always bad?
Well, I was...
You were moved
much
as a kid
at the time.
Yeah.
But it was like, this is a dog. His name is Spot. His behind has a slot.
Okay.
Something like that. Less sexual than that, but so your dad would bribe you with Beanie Babies.
Uh-huh.
And my mom was a food for good spelling test. That was my parents' bribe.
Food like for like that you needed for nourishment
like,
or like
nourishment.
A treat.
She'd give
you
food.
Get breakfast. No, it was like I'd get a second Hostess cupcake. Pretty low stakes. Pretty low stakes. But also, two Hostess cupcakes is too many Hostess cupcakes.
That's why you have an eating disorder now.
I think so.
That's why you're eating all those carrots. Just
what were
like...
your parents' reward system?
I mean, I think it varied because sometimes it could be like a toy thing. Sometimes it would be like we're getting Pizza Hut for dinner. You know, it could be. I think they varied it.
That's the kind of stuff. Like if I had a kid, I have a million questions, but I Google like. Is reward-based
good.
Teaching okay?
Yeah.
Right.
What kind of behavioralism am I allowed to use on my child? What have they tied this to later in life?
I think like it teaches your kid that something will make them happy when it won't. So it might lead to a lot of dissatisfaction. When really, if you just teach them to enjoy the work without the reward.
Yeah.
Sure. Good luck. Good fucking luck.
Do you think you would have kept playing the instrument, though, if you didn't have the reward? And maybe that would be a different life for you.
I think that's admirable that your dad did that.
I think I would have because he also guilted me. Because there was a time when I was like, that's it, I'm quitting. And he was like, I mean, okay, you might regret it. And then I was like, no, I can't quit. Like yeah. I was so scared of that regret that he...
Is that all it took or would it fester? You'd be like, I quit. What was the longest you quit?
I never quit.
Yeah.
I just said I wanted to quit and would cry. And then he would say like whatever and then say, do you want to quit? And I'd be like, no, you know. I mean, I think there was a part of me deep down that also just like knew that music needed to be a part of my life.
Yeah.
Because it was one of the few things that like made me feel connected to the world as a child. And I had no sense of any interest in comedy. I know I was funny and I did like impressions as a kid.
Sure.
But I never thought that was anything to take seriously or anything I could. I had no idea about like pursuing comedy as a career. I had no idea how anyone would do that.
Yeah.
Or that even people did that, you know? And sure. Then I started seeing stand up and I was like, wow, that's cool. And
I feel like with being good at viola, it definitely doesn't get you points with your peers at regular school.
Not at all.
Not at all.
No, to say I was unpopular is an understatement. I mean, I was really just invisible. I wasn't like intensely bullied at school. I was really just ignored.
Did you ever get a moment of like you opened assembly and you played a song and everyone went, whoa?
Not with viola. I have a very good voice.
Really?
And I started taking I started doing the voice classes at my school, and like we had like a musical theater workshop, and I sang Poor Wandering One from Gilbert and Sullivan.
Do you know that one?
From Pirates of Penzance.
Oh, I don't really know Pirates of Penzance.
And you know, it's like all high coloratura, and like I really just dazzled everyone. So like everyone after that, everyone like kind of like looked at me a little different.
What year was that?
It was senior year.
Of high school?
Yeah.
So right at the tail end, they're like, hey, we should have been an asshole.
Totally. Because like other years I like sang to the floor, and I mean, I still sounded good, but I just wasn't as like,
Confident.
And then like for some reason they gave me like a parasol for the, because it was like a workshop. It wasn't like a full show.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I like just last minute became like a total comedian and ham and like did a whole thing and got laughs. And that was like a big moment for me.
Sure.
Wow.
So, yeah. And I don't really sing that much anymore.
But. What did you ever have a moment where you got to be like show your abilities, your performance abilities in a way that like your school saw?
Yeah, I mean, I did the shows. I did the musicals.
Did you do one in middle school? Oh, you did.
I did the musicals, but then in high school,
Did you get a lot of pussy after that?
I didn't get a lot of pussy after that. It didn't really translate that way. I did the musicals, and then but for comedy, I wouldn't do the talent shows. I wouldn't like sing in the talent shows. I had to do the sketch. Like I had, the only reason I joined student council is because I went to a show and saw, when I was in ninth grade, I went and saw the talent show, and the people who put on the show, the student council, did sketches in between the acts. And I was so mad because it was so bad.
Uh-huh.
And they just like stole SNL bits and just did it. And I was like, you can't just do bits from another show. So I was so mad that I was like, I'm joining student council and I'm going to take over the show and be like do sketches in between.
Yeah.
So I did that.
And
I
got video of that?
I don't know, but it went well. It went well. I did it for 3 years in a row, and we as hosts won the talent show, which was not allowed, but we won the last, my senior year, because that was the best part of the show. Was the sketches. So
I believe it.
But
find those scripts. Let's act it out.
Yeah.
So then you go to Juilliard. We all know, but I did the research. You were visiting Juilliard what, every summer or after school?
Every Saturday.
Where'd you live?
I grew up in Manhattan.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh.
Were you going to the symphony as a kid?
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah. I was around it. I was very, you know, what's the word? Groomed for a life in music.
Groomed.
That's not the right. That's not a good word.
That does have other meanings. It really is.
Yeah.
We've lost it.
What part of New York did you grow up in?
I was also groomed. No. I grew up in Lower Manhattan, so not that far from here.
Okay.
Should we reveal where we are?
No, it's okay. They know where we're
stalkers. Picture of my face outside this window.
Yeah.
Were you were you going to the Met a lot? Like, were you living in artsy? Because your dad.
Yeah, not that much. I mean, because I was a violinist and then violist, so like, yeah, my parents would like take me to see string players. Like, you know, I think I went to like a Hilary Hahn concert when I was little, and like some other people like Sarah Chang or these like very well-known violinists.
Yeah.
Just to like show me like the best of the best. But not like a ton. I mostly spent time just like at home practicing.
Sure. If I went to a classical thing, I'd have so much coffee. I'd plan my caffeine intake, and I don't ever mean it as disrespect.
No,
apparently,
it's
my father.
It's fucking boring.
Yeah, but if you know it, it can be fun. It's one of those things.
Yeah,
where
when you're doing it, it's like Shakespeare a little bit.
Yeah.
If you're like doing it, you're like, I'm having a great time. But sometimes when you're watching it, it's not as fun to when you're doing it.
I tried so hard to get into opera because I had like an opera teacher, and for me, I admire just the greatness of the singers. And I was like, I want to be able to sing like Pavarotti does and do musical theater. Truly delusional. Mm-hmm. And I would sit in the library with scores open and try to follow along to the best of my abilities. And it's just like, I like the big, flashy, fireworky songs. And then the rest was torture.
Yeah.
It was torture. And I went, I wish I could be different.
Yeah.
I wish I could. But I can't.
Yeah.
I mean, me going to the symphony, it would be like, let's do this. This is good. And I feel bad how uncultured I am.
Yeah, but it doesn't actually mean, like, first of all, the symphony I can handle better than opera. Because opera, the music itself is usually so beautiful, but the singing has so much vibrato that the pitch gets lost.
Yes.
And so that you don't actually sense the harmony and the beauty of the music. It's just like this athleticism that's like funny, like not funny, like fun for a second to watch.
Yeah.
But then it's just, it like I have to be moved in my body by the music.
Yeah.
So if you're singing like, ooh, like it's like, what are you even getting from that?
I often feel like too, like it feels so that they're so focused on the technical element to it that I don't feel when I'm watching. I'm like, do you know what you're saying here?
Yeah.
Do you know what you're doing here? And sometimes there's rare things where you see a clip of something and you're like, oh, that's very moving, very beautiful, blah, blah, blah. But I think in general, when I was in music school, I'd go to watch these recitals and these things and I'd be like, these people, like, they're so worried about the breath and the thing and the how it's coming out and blah, 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 that there's no sort of communicating happening of what is happening in this.
Sure, but that's like, that's, then go to musical theater, ultimately. It's like, I think
you can
that's
do
like
both.
What?
That's why I get annoyed by opera, because it's like, I feel like you can still do that and have that technical thing. But I agree with you on the thing, too. It's like, sometimes you'll hear what is deemed a great voice, and you're like, I don't know. That's like going so much here and there that I don't think it sounds that great.
Yeah, it's just noise.
Yeah.
So you're not a snob at all? Or do you hide your snobbiness?
It depends what you mean by snob. I mean, I'm very critical.
Uh-huh.
But I'm critical of a lot of things people deem snobby. So maybe that makes me seem like not a snob because I'm like, oh, I don't give a shit about that stuff.
I went through a real phase of where I was like a snob about, and looking back, it was so foolish. And it was because of a voice teacher I had. Where like if someone's singing wasn't good, I'd be like, yeah, but they were cracking. But yeah, they were flat. But yeah, but And now I'm like very different. I'm like, they told a story. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But I went through my college years, I was like a singing snob.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very critical, I have very high standards, and I guess that makes me a snob in some ways.
Uh-huh.
But I also like enjoy lots of like shitty things.
Sure.
So
what about your peers? Were there any big snobs there?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And I mean, within like string playing, I'm the ultimate snob because I know how good it can be.
Sure.
So I mean, like I'll, you know, my partner thinks I'm a snob because he's more in like the rock world. So he'll like play me a recording of a string player, and I'm just like, they suck. And he's like, be nice. They're good. You know. Like,
yeah. It is hard. It is hard. For me, I think the most snobby is, I think you're the same, is acting. There are people where I'm like, they're a terrible actor.
Yeah.
But it's just what you see. I mean, like, it's once you see what you see, it's impossible to not. It's the same with music. There's so much ignorance is bliss when it comes to art.
I'm not doing it when I'm in a scene with them or something. I'm doing it like when sometimes it's on TV or something and you're like, that person has a
But more often than not, if we were to compile all our criticisms other than saying like, this is not funny. I mean, funny is probably the number one, but number two is just like the acting was bad.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you can feel it as a vibe, but that's what we did.
Yeah. But what is bad acting?
That's so true.
You know it when you see it.
Point.
Shut up. You don't think that at all. You don't think that at all. You go, bad, bad, okay. Great, bad, bad. The other day, someone
people can be bad and good sometimes. That's the crazy thing about it is like you sometimes.
Of course,
but the ones we're talking about, I know.
Yeah, but the other day, someone on Twitter who I respect as like a podcaster and political commentator, like said like Natalie Portman's a bad actor, and I want to be like, okay, so you don't know what you're talking about. You could say bad choices. You could say a weird take or even over dramatic, but Natalie Portman is an excellent
actor.
Yeah. You're right. Nuts, and you shouldn't be allowed to speak on acting anymore, because if you think that, you cannot see.
Right.
You cannot see.
Yeah.
Wow. It made me really mad. I was like, what are you talking about? It was some one of the hosts of like Chapo Trap House. Like posted, I just like, and I think his takes about movies. But when he said that, I was like, oh, then you don't know what acting is. Yeah.
They just don't like her face, probably. You know, like they're just people. Like, I feel like when people say that about like obviously good actors, it's because you just don't like them they're like playing unlikable characters, or they're playing, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's if you are unable to like talk about things that you don't like, but you admit are good. You just don't like, if you can't separate, I don't personally want to do this, and them being talented or not, then you're broken.
You can see people no in things that you don't like and be like, they're great in that.
Sure. I hate Gutenberg, that. Titanic.
I think that's what makes someone cultured, is being able to separate their own taste from like critiquing a piece of art.
Yeah. Sure.
It's like people who are uncultured are just like, I don't like that. You know, like it's bad. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Like, but if you're like, oh, I don't like understand it, or I don't like it, but I think it's good. Probably like, that to me is all it takes to be like culture. It's like an awareness of like something beyond yourself and your own yourself's dumb feelings and reactions.
Mm-hmm. Are you at the height of your viola abilities, or have you dipped because you can't practice as much anymore?
I don't know. I don't play that much, so it's hard. I feel like I've become better in a way because I'm looser. I care less, and I have like enough foundation of technique built that it's like I'm not gonna like really dip that much. But again, I'm not playing like the hardest stuff anymore. I'm not trying to learn all the concertos.
Sure.
I could probably build that back up. It's like riding a bike, but I don't. So I don't really know. But I can still make like a beautiful sound and like play. Like, whatever, like recording sessions and movie score, things I get hired for that are like not very difficult, but they still want good players for, you know.
I'm having a real, sorry to make it about myself, I'm having a real crisis when it comes to acting, where I haven't acted in a very long time. Like truly.
Okay.
You know, sketch, whatever. But I feel like my internal bar of what good acting is very high. And I'm like so not even close to touching it that I feel, and this is not me looking for like advice or that I'm wrong, but it's just like it's been really hard to have studied something so intensely and practiced it so hard. And all I see now when I revisit it is I'm like, oh, you are out of shape. You don't even know what, and acting is tricky in and of itself. It's like it's brain games. I mean, so it feels like all I'm now is now thinking about what my mouth doing. Like I'm like stuck, and you balance that with like with stuff with the industry where you have to constantly be like, yeah, let me get that audition. Oh, I'd love to go for that. And inside I'm like, they shouldn't put me in that. Mm. And it's just been a challenge I've been having recently. And now that the strike's over, I have to like confront it.
Yeah,
and like just. And you know, because all your reps are just like, no, you're great, and you're like, okay.
But the discipline is transferable. Aren't you just applying that discipline to stand up?
Discipline is transferable, but I think I hit a point where I was like, I'm not a great actor, and I tried every which way, every technique, every fucking mental game, and I think ultimately I was like. Like to the degree of my brain doesn't allow me to pretend or buy into or go on the journey of the way an actor needs to do. And I can do other things to fake it, but there's a wall.
Right.
And so it's really hard. I just think it's been hard to like have a discipline that used to that used to be there and then revisit it with that high bar, as opposed to a comedian, not saying you specifically, but saying a lot of stand-up comedians who get into acting later,
right,
and just, you know, it's new, it's fresh, and so they can enjoy the journey of getting better.
It's super new for me, and I'm sure. Totally enjoying that. Yeah. It's
you like, did you study it a lot? Like, did you, or
I
did
never
you just
studied
go for it?
I never studied it, but stand-up makes, I think, makes you good at being at least like a version of yourself, because you're delivering jokes every night as if they're new, but they're not. Like, sure. That's acting in a way. Like,
yeah.
I mean, not every stand-up's gonna be a good actor, but I think it's like common for stand-ups to be like pretty good actors naturally, not like Shakespeare, just like really virtuoso actors, but like
sure
they can be convincing in a simple scene and like
yes
yeah.
Convey it, be natural and be loose and whatever.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know. Do you want to act still?
That's another. It's another. I don't know. I've been. I'm at a low point creatively.
Mm.
For those who are enjoying the podcast, join the Patreon, patreon.com/downside. We got bonus episodes. We got our live episodes. We got one coming out with Sebastian Connolly soon. That is so fucking good. I might have to release it on the main feed. And we're mixing up the Patreon. We're doing some new stuff. We're trying. This is not going to be a regular thing, but this time Russell and I, we watched. We're recording it after this episode in reality, but it already came out. We reviewed Lady Ballers, the new horrible comedy from the Daily Wire, so you never have to see it. Unfortunately, conservative comedy movies are not going away, and it's best that we understand why they're bad so you can save your dads and brothers from going down that rabbit hole. So you made a movie. With a great cast.
Yeah, who's in it?
We got Eric Bogosian. We got Dylan Baker. Great. Jamie Lee.
Wow, Dylan Baker.
From Happiness, my favorite movie.
That movie is so good.
I don't
no one's
seen
it. Oh. No one's seen it. It's so good
and it's so funny.
Better than Lady Ballers?
I
love Todd Solondz. I love everything he made.
He was in... Very up, saw the
like,
picture.
That movie, people would be talking about that movie on X for 3 months if it came out now.
Oh, yeah.
Because of some of the
How
stuff in it.
How dare you call it X? That made me want to throw
it.
I know. Call it Twitter.
I've been corrected like 5 times in the last day, so I'm
oh, that you said it made me
okay,
sick.
Okay, Twitter, sorry.
Ugh.
Anyways, great movie.
Yeah.
He was in The Good Wife, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, because the role he played like a crazy character in The Good Wife. And
oh,
it was
I never
so good.
Saw The Good Wife.
It was a long time ago.
Okay.
Before I knew all of Julian Margulies' views. But it was a fun show.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was sexy. It was lawyers. Mm. And I feel like if you're a lawyer, that show probably drives you crazy. Was Mozart in the Jungle, was it like, did musicians like it or did they hate it?
I hated it. I mean, it was like fun because it was like, let's see what they get wrong this time. You know, like I watched a lot of it, but it was like a total joke.
Yeah. But to your point, like, would the accurate version be on this episode? They all practice the whole day.
Yeah. That's the thing.
The less fun.
Well,
truthful.
Not to like plug my movie.
Sure.
But I do think my movie is a very accurate depiction of at least one musician.
Uh-huh.
It's based on my world as a violist, and like I think it's not just me practicing, you know. There are other things you can focus on around that world. I mean, the thing is like all these movies and shows about a world like music or the medical, it's like it's never actually the thing they're doing that's that interesting, because that's always the same shit. That's like working hard at something. And there's going to be the same kind of politics and same weird personalities in every industry. It's what's going on around it. That's just like the vehicle that you have to like create a story.
Yeah.
So it's never actually like going to be good if it's like too much about the thing and not about actually just like humans doing something. You know what I mean? I don't know.
No, I totally know what you mean. It's more just like, then is there any point to try to capture the creative process at all, because it always feels fake or forced. Two that come to mind recently for me are Tick, Tick, Boom. Did you see the movie adaptation? And he's swimming and the notes come together out of the tiles of the pool.
Yeah.
And then my favorite, I only saw the pilot of Empire, and it was like a woman was singing a song, and then the head producer's like, hold it. And then goes up and goes like, remember when the cops took your brother? Remember seeing his head go in? Roll it. And then she does it again, and it's brilliant. And it's like, it's so over the top.
Yeah.
But I understand what they're trying to capture. you know, it's like for me, the funny moment, it's I'm walking down the street and I go, oh, that could be something. And that's it. That's right. Not fun to watch.
Right. And it's not even you going, oh, it's literally like you walking and in your head just going like, oh, okay.
I pull my phone.
Keep walking, yeah. Keep walking. You know, like, yeah, I think trying to capture the actual creative process is like bad. Like I've never seen it done well. I don't want to, like, you can't really capture that. That's just, and it's not something you
Black
either.
Swan. I did love Black Swan so much.
I thought that was great, but that wasn't a creative process.
Like
was like that was like a physical thing. I mean,
yeah.
It's like different. Someone like coming up with a song and someone like trying to perfect their pirouette. Like it's,
yeah.
I don't know. It's a little different, but
I'd prefer that. I would rather have a hard work montage.
Yes.
A Rocky style. If you're doing comedy, it's just spot.
Yeah.
Notes, listen back. That's my version of, as opposed to Miss Maisel.
You know, like,
I'm dying up here.
You're like, something happens in your life and you go up and then have a new 10 minutes all of a sudden and you're like referencing that thing and you're like, yeah.
No. I would love if I ever get to show stand up and something, it's like, I have that moment and I go to riff. And I just bomb for
just
10
bad.
Straight minutes. Just 10 straight minutes. And I show the whole 10 minutes.
It's like that time. Remember that time you got punched in the face?
I got punched in the face.
And he's like, I'm going to talk about it on stage.
I was going to talk about stage. And I said, I got punched in the face today. Fucking crazy.
And that was it.
Fucking crazy,
and the audience
man.
Was like, are you okay? What happened? It was... There was no jokes.
fucking crazy, man.
I'm trying to. So you filmed, you produced.
Is it a full length movie?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was.
How long had you had? Like you wrote it. I'm assuming.
I wrote it.
How long have you did? Was that writing it, and then like you know this process been?
The writing was like. I want to say 6 months. I mean, it was a TV show. I wrote like 3 episodes that were half hours. And then I picked my favorite pieces and like wove it into a movie. So it was like probably about a year, but a lot of different versions and things. And then it took me like another year to like plan it and get producers on board. And then like 6 months in pre-production. It was a long.
How do you get that cast? That's a killer cast.
Yeah, so Dylan Baker, who else?
Eric Bogosian.
Wow.
I mean, you can just ask these people. And if it's like... I mean, honestly, I felt really good about the script, so I would just send people the script and hope that they read it. Because people who read the scene, like,
it's such a big ass to ask someone to read a script.
Well, there was one scene with the dad, which is what Dylan Baker plays, and I knew if he just read that scene, maybe he'd want to. I don't know. I think he read it and decided he wanted to do it. But
sure,
he just reached out to people.
Sure.
And a lot of people ignored us, you know,
who did you actually want for those roles?
No, actually, those two were always dream cast. So,
And one of them was your dad?
Dylan Baker played my dad. Yeah.
Dylan Baker played your dad.
Yeah.
Who's playing your parents? Have you got anyone you want?
Oh.
I know who my dad, for me, if I could get my dad. It's fucking Sean Penn at his craziest. It is 100% Sean Penn.
Oh, interesting.
Hook, line, and sinker.
I don't have someone for my dad. I don't know. Because it's like hard to imagine like what way I'd be talking about my parents. You know what I mean? Like in what way?
I'm trying to learn something about you. By you.
I would have Catherine O'Hara as my mom just because I love Catherine O'Hara and I think she can do everything.
What is she from?
What is she from?
It's just the names. I just don't know the names. It's not that I don't know the person.
Something your brain will understand. She's the mom from Home Alone.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's your mom?
Yeah, because she can be really funny, I think, and also play a lot of different kind of things. And she's really sweet and can play kind of different things,
okay.
I think. I don't know for my dad. I don't have someone in my head.
My mom, it's like, I think Julia Louis-Dreyfus is the one that I'm like, I would lean towards. Because the tits. Does Julia Louis-Dreyfus have big tits?
No, that's what I was saying. I was
because my mom.
I was because you always talk about your mom.
I don't always talk about mom's tits. I talked about her breast implants in the last episode we did.
Last few episodes, probably. But okay.
Are you going to feel comfortable when your dad sees that scene? Did you show a side of your dad?
My dad was on set because we filmed a lot of it at my parents' house. So I think he. So, I don't know if you saw that scene on the monitor, but It's a paints them in a good light. I mean, my family's painted in a positive, quirky way. They'll love it. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. My actual brother played my brother.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
So he's just him. So he saw it.
Did he go to Juilliard too?
He went to Juilliard pre-college, and then he went to a different school for college.
Did he ever conduct you?
Yeah.
And is he a good conductor?
Yeah. 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 I mean, but we have a sibling thing. So sometimes he drives me crazy. Just like, I'm like, why are you doing it that way? You know, like in a sibling kind of way. But no, he's very, very good. Yeah.
And our conductor, I think I always get skeptical of conductors. The whole do people get skeptical of conductors?
Skeptical? What do you mean?
Skeptical of, like,
do you need them?
A, if they are needed, do they deserve all the movies about them?
No,
you need, I mean, look, they're a conductorless orchestra, so clearly we don't need them. They can, a good one can really add something. You need them in like a Broadway show because they're literally I've played in a lot of pits. They're like the connection between the upstairs and the downstairs, right?
Yeah.
The
singers. Yeah, yeah.
But like for a symphony orchestra, if they're really good, they add a little extra something, energy to it. And if they're not good, then you don't need them.
What pits have you played in?
Lion King, Les Mis, Fiddler, Sunset Boulevard.
Now, no offense to those shows. I've heard them so much in my life, I think I would go fucking crazy playing those songs again.
And I did.
Did you ever
and
play like a long
do it anymore?
Did you play like a long term thing at those?
I was a sub in all of them, so I was running from show to show. I only had my own show. It was like a 6-week run. It was a show called Rocktopia that was like a limited rock concert thing, but it was like a Broadway show. And then I was in like 2 weeks of the Miss Saigon tour.
Hello.
Okay, good. Sorry. 2 weeks of the Miss Saigon.
On tour, just covering for someone. I don't know if I would have gotten my own chair, but I never was going for that because I knew I would go insane playing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
Some people can do it, and that's great, but I can't. I lose my mind.
Being in a show, like I did the show before this for 9 months, and then I'm now in this show, but I'm a standby. So it's people that do that for years. I don't know. I think it's a real, I don't know if the skill might not be the right word because you're
endurance,
like
you, torture.
Endurance, like you really have to be able, it feels like a certain kind of thing once you're in a show and it's the same thing every night. And it sometimes feels like in some ways worse than like what I would imagine 9 to 5 is. Cause you're like, you're in this thing, you're blunking it. It's the same time every night. You look at the clock. It's this part of the moment of the song.
Oof. I think being on Broadway is harder than going to war.
Yeah.
I think it's harder than being a doctor. I think you are doing the hard and standby is even harder.
It is.
Because you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
But you might have to at some point.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of stress.
Yeah.
It was
really exciting at first. And it's not, but I'm thankful it's a limited run because I do think it's a hard job to be like. But you're like, it's a very specific thing that you're being asked to do to be ready to go on. And also you're doing all the kind of shitty stuff of theater and then not getting to perform. But
were there ever any disasters in the pit? Anything go way wrong?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think one time like someone was late and we like started the show like without one violinist and like they had to call someone else to like run in and fill the spot. That was like stressful. But
sure.
I might have blocked something out, but I can't think of anything.
Lion King. I think I watched it 25 times when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And some of those songs, I don't know what, there must be a German word for this kind of thing. There's something of like, because I know where the song's going, that it feels like torture. Mm. And it's not even that I don't like the song. I don't think it's good. But like I'm bored by living through it. It's why I can't see the Nutcracker again. My dad made me see the Nutcracker every year as a kid, and I hear that music, and I don't mean it to come off as ingratitude, but I'm like, I don't want to hear it again. It makes me uncomfortable.
That's interesting though, because people generally like stuff that's familiar to them. That's why they listen to the same songs.
I do. There's some musicals I could do over, but there's some kind of musical catchiness that it's like it's next to boredom.
Uh-huh.
And it's like kind of concentrated boredom of I know everything that's going to happen and I'm not on the ride.
Yeah.
Mm.
Now, you've done a lot of private, like weird, like side gigs. You played once for someone's proposal. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Any strange gigs? Any regrettable ones?
Well, the proposal was funny because they had me go into this hotel room that was booked and just wait there for them to come
just
in.
Just you, not a,
just
not
me.
A quartet. Okay.
Just me alone. And then this guy, the plan was like he showed up with his girlfriend and a photographer and like he somehow got her there under some other false thing and then proposed and she said yes. And they had contracted me till 8, but she said yes by like, you know, 7:40. But he was paying me so much that I didn't want to like stop playing before 8, but I couldn't tell if they wanted me to like leave. And we were both kind of like, I was like, I can go. And they're like, play another, you know, like, and it was like, clearly neither of us wanted me to be there, but we were too scared. And then finally they were like, you can go. And then like, the guy was like, do you want some cake? And then the girl was like, you know, I was like, I'm just going to go.
Oh my God. Wait, did he propose in the hotel room while you were there?
It was a balcony in the room. So we were on the balcony.
Oh, okay. That's good. Because I was picturing like them going into a hotel room, you just standing there with a violin. Like, just you.
Yeah, no, he texted me before they got there so that I was already playing. So
okay.
That helped.
That's nice.
That's nice. Okay.
It was really nice.
I was picturing you like waiting in the bathroom and then him proposing out in the thing and then you like coming out you're starting to play.
From the closet. Just
that's what Kanye West for Valentine's Day, he got Kenny G to like play the flute.
Uh-huh.
As Kim woke up.
Oh my God.
As she woke up and Kenny G was in the living room with 1,000 roses or something.
Get out.
That's my theory is people that are, if they're too romantic, that's because they're crazy. Something's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. I also played once a string quartet for a private dinner. So it was like 2 people and then just a string quartet. And there was a hot tub outside and they were like getting in and out of the hot tub and like, it was very like we shouldn't be here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that is strange.
And it was like an old guy and a hot young woman.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Where was it? In New York?
Like upstate or something.
Weird.
Some mansion.
That is weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would be the thing is like anytime you're imagining these scenarios, I'm like, I would be so uncomfortable in terms of like if we're just gonna talk and they're gonna play like
I know
at like it's not like a wedding or something. Well, there's lots of things happening. If just 2 of us, I would be. They're just hearing us talk, you know.
Yeah.
I'd feel like, hey, put down, come join us.
I'll put the Sonos on. We'll listen to.
They had
quartet.
No problem. They didn't offer us a damn thing.
Can you imagine they were playing and you put it on without telling them, and then they were just like, oh, turn it up. He hates classical music. Played any weddings?
Oh my God, countless weddings.
Can you play like the fun? Like, or is it all classical?
I once got asked to play Africa by Toto on string quartet.
Which, how does that go? Because I always.
I'm gonna take the left, take me away from you.
Yes. Uh huh.
And like she wanted it for the processional and the recession. It was like all Africa. all straight, but it was like a string quartet version, so it was like, it was like a beautiful Africa.
Yeah.
So sometimes, but no, usually it's like ceremony cocktail hour, not like the fun part, just like the classy part.
Toto Africa. One time I was doing a show and it was like there was musicians and actors, and one of the actor musicians, he would play his own music as his warm-up, and we would hear it on the monitors in the dressing room, and he was playing and he was like working on this new song, and he kept talking about this new song, and he was playing it and we were all downstairs and it was Toto's Africa and he had no idea. It had different lyrics. He's like da 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 da, and it was like he would, and we were like, everyone was kind of humming, and then I started singing and everyone was like, oh my God, they're like, we have to tell him. And I was like, we can't tell him, he worked so hard on this song, he doesn't know it's that song, but like I can't tell him, because he was so proud of it. He kept talking about his new song, and then he would, and then
when does he find out? He uploads it to YouTube and he gets sued and he's like, what?
It had different lyrics, but it was definitely the same melody. Oh, that happens a lot.
No one told him?
No, no.
Someone told me the other day. Not my job. I had a new joke, and they said that was in Shane Gillis' special. And I said,
damn.
Thank you. I've gotten better. First time someone told me that, I was very mad. And it wasn't their fault.
Yeah.
People just come up with the same bit all the time.
Oh, no, I copied it. I wrote it down, and I said, I want to do this bit.
What bit was it?
It was something, it was like, people say this country's never been more divided. We had a civil war. So it was something about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then the one that really hurt, I had one for a while that said, I've been dating my girlfriend for a little over a year, so we're almost done. And it was like Louis once did way back. We've been married for 10 years, so we're almost done or something. And it was just like, fuck.
Yeah.
And it was it was working as an opener. Damn. When someone takes your will at the first opening line, nothing worse.
But it's good when you find out just to, you know.
Also, you're like, hey, I had the same thought as this comedian I respect. That's cool. I don't know if you respect Shane and Louis, but.
Just morally and ethically.
physically, mentally, financially.
Let's go to our next segment. This has got to stop. This has got to stop.
So loud.
Sorry.
This has got to stop.
Better?
It's better, yeah.
Okay, good. this has got to stop. This is where we say, for all the new listeners that came in, Eric Bogosian, thanks for tuning in. Hope to have you on soon. If a legend, theater legend. I would even need to like look it back up just to see, because he did like these crazy one-man monologue shows back in the day. Everyone was doing his monologues for a little. This is where we talk about something that's got to stop, something that needs to go away. I wrote down a bunch in this pad that I can no longer find. Russell, do you have a this has got to stop?
No, someone else go first. I'm looking
Isabel,
at my...
do you have a this has got to stop?
Limited series.
Oh.
Okay, tell me more.
I'm sick of this drawn-out, six-part... It should have been a film. I don't need 6 hours of this. Learn to edit. Make it 90 minutes.
Yeah.
No more limited series, prestige television. Just make a fucking movie.
Sometimes similar to the documentaries, like the true crime things, where it's like eight things, and you're like, I think this was maybe a 2 hour one thing.
At most.
Because you're like, you get into it and you're like, wait a minute. And then you get to the end of it and you're like, you didn't even solve this.
Yeah.
And like, why am I not Googling it before I start it? Because that's the other thing. If we start, if we end and finish and there's no answers, you've just thrown out some hypotheses of what happened in this crime. I that's got to stop for me.
Yeah.
Solve it. Figure it out. Film people if the authorities
have it. Documentary especially, because like I'm pushing myself to see a documentary sometimes.
Yeah.
But four episodes, that's a huge commitment.
I was watching
the documentary about what's his name? Beckham and Pot Spice. What's his name?
No. No, I know you.
David Beckham and Victoria.
What's his name?
David Beckham.
David Beckham and Victoria
Beckham.
Posh Spice. and they kept, there was way too much stuff about soccer.
Mm.
I was like, enough. I just care about their relationship and the Spice Girls. Mm. I just want a Spice Girls documentary.
There will be, I'm sure, someday.
That's one I'd watch parts of.
Yep.
I'm fascinated because I only know it from the vantage point of a little kid.
Same. I was obsessed. I got the lollipops and I would like collect all the stickers and I had the Barbies. And
you're always fascinated because when watching the documentary, like Sporty Spice speaks and I'm like, okay, so they're still friends.
Right.
And then I'm like, well, Ginger's not there. So Ginger's probably not friends anymore. Right. Why did she leave? What kind of money was on the table? Okay. If I could have any band where I want to know what happened, I want to know Spice Girls or NSYNC. Like, I want to know the real version.
Yeah.
The version where they go, Justin Timberlake sucks. That's the one I want to. Or maybe they love him. But like, or Destiny's Child, and they're honest about Beyonce.
It's hard to be.
You can't. No one's honest anymore. Yeah,
you can't because it's like, because it there's a financial element to all the examples.
Because I hope Beyonce brings them on one show and gets a bajillion more dollars.
Yeah.
Okay. My this has got to stop is what the fuck? Let me. Oh no, that was the. Okay.
It's got to stop for me. The goddamn tree in Rockefeller Center. I've never seen New York as crowded as it is, and I don't usually have to work in Times Square, but it's been a fucking nightmare getting through anywhere there because of this tree. It's packed to the gill. I've never seen anything like it.
It's not even that good of a tree.
No.
It's always underwhelming.
Well, it's from my hometown.
Well, so, even worse.
Don't talk shit about their trees.
That tree.
Like, there's just lights. There's no, like, ornament. It's just, like, a tree with...
There's no ornaments.
Also, the saddest thing ever is that the theater I am in is right next to Fox News, and you'll see people taking their picture at that Fox News tree, which is even sadder.
Mm.
And it's just because it's too crowded to even probably get to the thing. So there's people out there settling for pictures with the Fox News tree, which is just a shitty regular tree. You know, you could get in anyone's hometown is a tree that big.
The only thing I like about Fox being there is I'm like, yeah, They live in New York.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The people talking about New York all the
time.
They fucking live here. If they liked you, Montana, they'd fucking be there.
Well, they might live in New Jersey or in Connecticut, the people that work there.
Sure, but they choose to work
quote,
unquote, the worst city in the world. Fuck you, cunts. Okay, your wife sent some. Russell's wife will sometimes send this gotta stops.
Yeah.
And they're always describing, like, me to a T.
Are they?
They're always like... she said this has got to start. Which, can you please just tell her how the segment works?
It goes stop.
Courtesy campaigns on the subway. You aren't supposed to wear your backpack or keep your purse on your shoulder on a rush hour train. You idiots. True.
That's you.
True. I know. I put it down now. Yeah. I've learned. Yeah. I've matured. This is the one. Pole leaning is back, and people don't react to my knuckles in their back.
Oh, that makes me so mad.
Like, are they starved for human touch?
Oh, no, yeah. That is weird. When you lean on someone like that, also it's weird.
If it's crowded, if it's not crowded, is it okay? If no one's on the pole.
If no one's on the pole, okay.
Yeah.
But that's a very different thing than a psychopath leaning on a pole where everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
The other thing is when you're in that seat and people are like in the doorway and they lean and you're like, you're so clearly leaning on my head and I can't move it anymore than you know, that thing. And the other thing is people that have to sit. I'm not talking like they have an ailment or they're really old or they're whatever. I'm talking like you see people get on and they're just like little gremlins who they have to sit and they will squeeze themselves anywhere. Do you know these people?
Yeah.
You are one of them.
No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, you're skinny, so you can do that.
Sure, but once I made the mistake of like a tight train and it was a clear seat there was a seat that was open technically.
Yeah, and you
and I said I said
squeezed
and I,
your way in there.
I squeezed and this it was like 1 a.m. after LOL and this woman she was gonna hit me.
Yeah.
And it was scary. And it was your wife.
Yeah.
My this has gotta stop. Sometimes it's tough. People say things to performers. And they don't mean ill. We talked about it last week where they say, oh, someone's making a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Another one I can't stand. Don't forget me when you're famous.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know what I want to say? What people who say that to me, I say, I don't even know your name now.
Yeah. How dare you?
It's more just like, yeah, then say something cool that'll make me remember you.
Right.
Then like, entertain me. Gesture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know what your spot. I won't.
I want to be like, no one gets famous anymore.
Yeah.
It's not even a thing.
Yeah.
Or it's like, yeah, I won't forget
Sorry,
you.
That's a different thing. But
No.
I'll tell my security guard, you see this person, keep them out. Because they speak to me in stupid cliches that are not fun to engage with.
Yeah. Who said that to you? Like, was it someone you know, or like just?
It was like a comedian, but like a you know, sort of comedian. Not even in the New York scene, just out.
Maybe it bothers you because you're like, bitch, I'm already famous.
Yeah, there.
Oh, maybe that's why it bothers you.
There's a degree.
Yeah.
Final segment.
You better count your blessings.
You better count your blessing. We say one thing that we're thankful for after a nice negative show. Russell, do you have...
Thankful for my friend, Jordan. He came to visit this weekend to see Gutenberg, and it was very nice. He just had a baby. Well, his wife had a baby, and they both came, and it was their first like trip after the baby, and it was very nice. As you know, sometimes people have kids, and it's hard and things, so I appreciate the effort. And
who was the producer that night?
Good question. She was on Vampire Diaries. Nina Dobrev, you know that name.
Great. Gutenberg killing it with the celebs. Do you have a blessing?
Yeah.
I'll go first. I just remembered it's better when the guest ends. We released this episode with Jesse David Fox. Where again, it wasn't the most combative episode, but I spoke my mind about comedy criticism and my thoughts on it, And it's very nice. I have some young comedians who go like, I listened to that episode, and thank you for like, they just felt like I articulated something that they thought would be cool for someone to say to a comedy critic. Mm. And it feels nice. I went to like New York Comedy Club party, the Christmas party, and I'm like, I was like, oh, I'm a older comedian who like, you know, I'm just a different level of age and things, and to have like a younger comic up and come and be like, I dug it. It still feels cool.
Oh yeah.
I'll get to Seinfeld's level hopefully someday where I'm like, don't talk to me.
Uh-huh.
Seinfeld goes, I love talking to comedians. And they go, hi, Mr. Seinfeld. He goes, get the fuck away from me. I should have said I love talking to other rich comedians. I got to stop. Though I do want to say Jason Zinnemann, he told me I didn't have to correct it, but he did include Earthquake in his best of end of year list. But to be fair, I didn't even bring up the specific list. You were the one who named it. That's on you. Do you have I made a critique, like a best end of year list. Why didn't it include Earthquake special? Like a really just fucking funny special.
Uh-huh.
And in my mind, I was thinking of a New York Times list that Jason Zinnemann did.
Right.
I wasn't bringing it up. And then Russell said, you're talking about the New York Times list. And then Jason told me pretty bluntly, he did, in fact, include Earthquake in that list. Mm. So I was talking about other lists.
Well, I think we were thinking of the bad specials that he included on the list. In our defense. So, but we didn't name those ones. We were talking.
We did not name those ones, and we will not.
No, we will not.
Join the Patreon for that. Joe, we do talk a little more shit on the Patreons. Join it.
Yeah.
Isabel, do you have a blessing?
Yes, this has become very apparent to me. I'm really grateful that I have a clear vision of what I want in my life, because I've had a lot of people ask me advice recently, and I'm like, well, what do you want to do? And they have no fucking idea. And I'm like,
sure.
How grateful am I that I know what I want to do?
Mm.
It's like so many people just don't, and it's so hard. So that's what I'm grateful for.
That's amazing.
Yeah. What do you want to do?
I don't fucking know. No. I just want to keep doing exactly what I'm doing right now. Doing stand-up, making art, and sure. Just doing that.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't have a bucket list. I'm living it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get back there.
You will.
I've been in that place before.
Yeah.
And then I leave it.
Okay.
And then I...
That means you're a good artist.
I hope so.
Yeah.
This coming out on the 26th. Merry Christmas, Debbie Downsiders. Isabel, what would you like to plug?
Just follow me on Instagram at IsabelHagen_.
Good.
That's it.
Russell, what do you want to plug?
Yeah, follow me on Instagram at Russell J. Daniels. You know, final month, coming into final month of Gutenberg on Broadway.
What do you think? You're going to get one more show?
I would love one more show, but, you know, who knows? It's just the world. It's, you know.
You ever go out for a drink with Josh and say, you ever go out for a drink for Josh, period?
Them doing 8 shows a week, it's like they're living like a hermit lifestyle.
If it's not like Josh out for a fucking Denver. You say, Josh, I got some cocaine.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go party.
Cocaine.
Give you one matinee. Give him one matinee, Josh.
Okay, I'm not participating in this conversation.
All right, Russell's not a part of it. This is me, Jamarco, telling you, Josh.
No.
Okay, for me, guys, I'm headlining Philly Punchline December 28th, 29th, 30th. Please come out. It is a big room. I will be at the Comedy Cellar New Year's Eve. I will be on the stage. Ringing in the new year.
Oh.
It's I've done it before.
Oof.
It's an honor mixed with you see everyone with their loved ones.
Oh.
It's a real metaphor moment. Because I remember I did it on stage at Governor's, and I'm looking out, everyone's with their loved ones and their families, and here I am. I got everything I wanted. I'm center stage, the lights on me, I have the talking stick, and I am alone. And I am alone. Watching people with their loved ones.
I think you're better off than the loved ones choosing to go to a comedy club.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
No.
Shut the fuck up. You shut the fuck up.
No. I love comedy, and I love comedy clubs.
And I'll be in a Side Splitters, Tampa, Florida, January 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th. That's good. Give me 8 shows. And otherwise, hope you enjoyed it. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/downside. And what's the best piece of music that you want to be played at your funeral?
Oh, the slow movement of the Debussy string quartet.
This is the downside.
1, 2, 3. Downside. Downside.
You're listening to The Downside.
The Downside.
With Gianmarco Cerezi.